Don't let the number of scriptures scare you too much. This morning we're going to be continuing our study, and we will be taking a look at the scriptures surrounding the new topic, a 3-week series on almost, not yet, not even close, and now. And this week we are in the message entitled Now, as we look at the stages of the Christian life. Let us pray that God would bless His Word. Lord, we thank You this day for Your Word that You have spoken to us through the prophets and through Your own Son, that we know Your will. And today, Lord, we pray that You would indwell the proclamation of Your Word, and that by Your Word we would be made stronger. Lord, as we are made stronger, help us have the courage to live out our faith as You have spoken it to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that is what we want in our lives, isn't it? Right now. We go to McDonald's, we want it now. We're sitting in line at the traffic light, we want it to turn green when? Now. When the person in front of us is driving too slow, we want them to speed up now. And that's just kind of the natural way of things. We want things now. I want them now. You want them now. It's a fact. We want things now. And that's normal for human behavior. But here's a problem for us. If God is by definition God, we're not going to get things. We're going to get them when God is ready to bring them to us. He will not submit to our schedule. For some reason only known to God, however, He has chosen to talk to us about His schedule. And we thank Him for His Word, for His Scriptures, where He gives us a little bit of information about that future now that we're all looking for. When we talk about almost, not yet, now, we're talking about God here with us, the kingdom exhibited on the face of the earth, and we want that. No, we really do. Let's try that again. We want that now. Okay, we want the kingdom to come. And I want to give again credit to the preachers who helped me flesh out the message, encourage me in this direction. This week particularly Matt Chandler, and also to a lesser degree David Platt. However, if you've heard me preach, you've heard me get into these particular texts, I'm afraid to say repeatedly, because they appeal to me. They draw me out. There's something in them that touches my spirit, my heart, my soul. And so this isn't something that is entirely from someone else. But the reality is we preachers study and we get information. We bring it to bear. And I want to let them be known this day. Now, Matt Chandler in particular is a young man. He's my age. He's actually a year younger than me. And he was stricken with cancer and was very sick. In fact, this time last year, he was basically told, "You're not going to make it. We have done all we can do. Here's what we're going to try next. But get your orders, get your affairs in order. This is it." And in fact, one of my fellow clergy in this area, the pastor at Koto Baptist, was talking to Matt Chandler, met him at a conference, had a conversation with him. He said, "How are you doing?" And he told him at that time, "This cancer will kill me. It's just a matter of when." And that's where he was a year ago. However, as of a few weeks ago, he is cancer-free and is not expecting to die. Now, the interesting thing about that is Matt Chandler is a man like myself who proclaims the absolute sovereignty of God, who tries as best he is able to live in a worldview in which whether I live or die, He is Lord, and I will worship Him. Straight from the words of Daniel, if you're curious to study Scripture and find that. But he lives that out, and he was speaking about that. And as he spoke and began to talk about suffering and the issue of suffering, why we are declaring we want now to be Jesus' arrival for all things to be made new, he has a personal knowledge of what it looks like to stare death straight in the eye. And I think that changes you. I've had that experience, not through that kind of long-term suffering, but certainly have stared death in the eye, and it does change you. Amen? And when you have that experience, I think it helps you talk about it. In his case, rather than shaking his faith, it deepened it. It only convinced him more that God was fully in control. As he suffered, as he struggled, he became closer and closer to God. It did not diminish him in his faith as he suffered. And I thought that was amazing and important. We will not suffer preaching here that presents a gospel free of suffering. Did you follow that sentence? A lot of words in there. We will not suffer the kind of preaching in this church that says there will not be suffering. If I've ever given you any other concept of the faith, I apologize. It is no fault of God's word that has been spoken, but the failing is mine. So today we're going to look at this topic, this issue of suffering, but it's all wrapped up in the issue, and I'm going to mix up the meaning of the word, and it's just a way of making us think that we are going to need to learn how to live now. And when I say live now, I both mean live in the day and live fully aware of this future in Christ that is coming. And Emmett is making a break for it. God bless you, Emmett. All right. And so let us begin to look at some of the scriptures this morning. Matthew 6:33, really a life verse for myself. Hope it will mean as much to you. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen is right. I love those verses of Scripture. Live in the day. But know that as you seek the kingdom of God, as you seek Jesus, as you try to be present with God in this day, He will add your needs unto you. Your hopes for tomorrow, if they are godly, will be realized. And then there's that distant future hope. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 and 54. And the reason I put these up on the screen is I thought rather than try and chase me, I would encourage you to write those down. If any of them touch you, they're there and you can write them down. You can certainly try and chase me through Scripture, but I will be moving quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 reads, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory." Amen. In the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, this future will come into being just like that. And Paul lived his entire life as if Jesus would show up any minute. How did Paul put up with all the suffering he went through? Beaten, stoned, run out of town, shipwrecked, snake bit, killed. First he was chained, then he was killed. And he declared it all joy. How did Paul do that? How? Because in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash, Jesus would come. And he lived in that now. He lived daily as if now God would be here. And that nothing else mattered nearly so much as that kingdom present in any moment. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That overcoming of suffering exists nowhere else but in Christ. Nowhere else but in Christ. There is a coming victory, brothers and sisters. God has told us of it. He talks about it constantly. There is a day where we will declare that final joy now. Revelation 21:1 gives us these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Brothers and sisters, who is the bride of Christ? The church. The church is the bride of Christ. So the church will come out of the heavens, splendidly prepared to meet her groom, to become the dwelling place of the living God. This is prophesied centuries ago in Isaiah 62:5. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. So in Scripture, when Christ is declared the groom, he is declared God before man. So living now contains this element of living simply in the day, living right now, just today's problems, nothing more. But there's always this element, oddly enough, of one leg in the future. But not our future. See, this is the problem. We get hung up on our future. What I'm doing tomorrow. What I'm doing next week. What I'm doing next year. How all of these suffering moments in my life will affect my future. And the leg that's supposed to be in the future is the future. Now comes the kingdom of God. Now comes Jesus, the groom. I will be prepared as his bride, the church. I will dwell in relationship with God. That's the future now I'm leaning into. Not the future I planned. Hebrews 10:36-39. The word of Paul, King of suffering, if you will, the King of pain. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Let me say that again. We, it's me and you, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Let's not shrink back. Let's not cower in fear, as today is not the tomorrow we hope for. Let us trust in the Lord. Let us look to Christ, that coming now, where He will be Lord of all, and we will be whole. Living, dying, we live in the confidence of God's love for us. How do we do this? 2 Timothy 2, 9-11. Paul talks of it. For which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, we will live with Him. Amen and amen. Jesus died that we might receive salvation. But more than that, He died that we would rise again. That we would live eternally, perfected. If we die with Christ, we will indeed live with Him. That's our present reality. Every day we live in that reality, that if we have died in Christ, we will live in Christ. That is our now. And as we look forward to that day, where all of this is completed, here is what we have to look forward to. And we'll begin our first of many readings in Revelation. Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with a writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth
could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then we continue in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Because Jesus was slain, we now experience the love of God. Because Jesus was slain, His wrath is turned away from us. There is no better answer in Scripture to our suffering than the suffering of God. There is no better answer, more clear answer to why is it that I go through the things I go through than Jesus. And when I see Him suffer, I can believe, no matter my circumstance, that good will come of this. I can't see it. I can't know it. It's even hard for me to believe it. But God, help my unbelief, because if You did it, there's an importance here that I may not know this side of the New Jerusalem. Because You suffered, I will trust You. Because You were slain, You are worthy. And that is proclaimed now in the future of the kingdom. I want to sing a new hymn. I hope I can pull this off in the middle of a sermon. It's a hymn we'll begin to sing as a church. We'll work it into our times together. It's called "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God is worthy because He was slain in Jesus Christ, and because He created. Because He is, by definition, God. And this story is not a new story. Daniel 7 teaches it to us. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and a vision passed through his mind. As he was lying on his bed, he wrote down the substance of his dream. Verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and his hair, the hair on his head was white like wool. Verse 13, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And then back to Revelation 4, verse 2. At once, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. And then we receive some new information, Revelation 5, 6 through 7. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, and are the seven spirits of God sent out in all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. God's on the throne. The Son, the Lamb is on the throne there with Him. The Trinity on magnificent display. God the Father, God the Son, two yet one, sitting on the throne together. How is Jesus God and man? We do not know, but we do know based on Scripture that it is necessary for Him to be God and for Him to be man, for us to be saved forever. And so the only security we have is Jesus Christ. And the victory we will know in eternal life is the truth of these words. That's how deep the Father's love for us is. Revelation 22:19. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we need You now. We need You in our lives daily. We need You here in the almost and in the not yet, not even close. Lord, we need You now. And Lord, we so desire the coming of Your kingdom, that permanent now would be made among us in a twinkling of an eye. Lord, we pray that it would come in our life, but if not, we are ready to acknowledge You, Lord, no matter what. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You would guide and direct us each and every day of our lives. Now, it is Yours. We have no control over it, but we proclaim You, Lord, in it. We love You. Amen.
Let's prepare our hearts for the table.